Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I'm excited to welcome my special guest this evening, as I'm a huge fan of The Apprentice myself. Jordan Dargan is Dublin's offering to this year's Apprentice. He is the youngest contestant, and at just 22, Jordan is an animation entrepreneur and the founder of Rendify Studios, a 3D animation business turning imagination into reality. His journey from Dublin to the competitive boardroom of The Apprentice has been nothing short of inspiring. I'm going to chat with him about his experiences on the show, his entrepreneurial endeavours, and his vision for the future. You're very welcome to the show, Jordan. How are you?
That's a hell of an intro. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. I honestly driving most nights. Classic is where I go. You know, I'm a granddad at heart. I might only be 22, but my music taste is very much stuck in the 60s. So
We love to hear that. So come here, for people that are listening in tonight and they're watching The Apprentice, I want to, before we get to the show, give us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to venture into the world of animation. That's your company, isn't it?
Absolutely. My company is Rendify Studios. I grew up like any normal kid from Dublin. I played Gaelic football. I did athletics, went to school, kind of just was going through the motions, I guess. You know, you go, you get good grades and you just keep tipping away. And I always watched The Apprentice every single year. Me and my mom would watch it from the age of seven. That was my show. And I was always like, I could do that. I think everyone looks at a television show and says, I could do that. But how many actually go and do that and actually make that a reality? So for me, you know, that was always in the back of my head. But Rendify really was built off necessity. I needed a business that I could start with as little money as possible. I didn't have money to go to college or anything. So I went on YouTube and I started looking up different business models, different things that could work. And I stumbled along animation, and one video led to another, which led to another. And I just became obsessed. And I taught myself the entire thing on YouTube.
So you took the company to where you got it. And then you said to yourself, I think this is time now to bring this over to the UK, to The Apprentice, because you had the two things together. You had the business and then you had the ambition. And you said to yourself, it's time to go on my favorite show. Talk me through the process of making that decision.
Yeah, so the business was running maybe a year by the time I actually went and decided to apply for the show. And to be honest, it's one of them things where I'd always wanted to go on it regardless. I think it was just the timing was perfect. You know, business was good. The applications had opened. And it is a very long process. Don't get that wrong. You know, it's months of you have to fly over to London and then you're going through all these stages. You don't know if you're going to hear back. And then you go home and then you get called back again. So you have to fly it again. So it was a lot of back and forth between the UK and Ireland, but obviously in the end, it was all worth it.
And you were the youngest candidate this year, and throughout the process, take us through how people perceived you and how they treated you. Did it affect how they were around you, your age?
Yeah, I mean, I actually wasn't even meant to be on the show initially. I was reserve, so I didn't get the call up until probably 2 days before filming. They kind of rang me and were like, "Do you want to come on?" And within two days we were filming, you know, that was it. That's sometimes you just have to be ready. So straight away I felt I was almost doubted, and then I came into the process, and you saw it in episode two. I'm an animation expert. It was an animation task and nobody voted for me to be project manager. So there was a lot of doubt very, very early on of, you know, this kid, does he have any clue what he's doing? Why is he here? Maybe he's just here to make good TV or whatever it may be. But I'm a serious entrepreneur, and they saw that as the task went on, and I'm excited for the people to see how that plays out.
So take us back to the start. You finally get accepted onto The Apprentice UK. You must have been absolutely delighted, but probably a little bit nervous as well. So tell us, for fans of The Apprentice, I've always wanted to know, what happens? You get accepted and then you fly over to the UK. Take us through the first couple of days.
Yeah, so I got a ring. I think I was shopping or something. I think I was getting a haircut, actually. I got a ring to go on a Zoom link. So halfway through my haircut, I had to pop out and get into the car. And lo and behold, it was the BBC. They basically said, you need to fly out tomorrow, in a nutshell. So I'm like, right. I haven't got a suit, I haven't got anything. So there was just a frenzy of running around Blanchardstown shopping center, buying suits, buying all the different things I'd need. Because you have to remember, you could be gone for 1 week, but you could also be gone for 3 months. You know, you don't know how long you're going to be in the process. So you have to just pack as if you're going to be in it the entire time. So I had my mother helping me doing that, and was on a flight the next day. You go into a hotel and you're basically held there, and that you no kind of contact. You're kind of just held there in isolation, and then you're put into this bubble. They get you in a taxi and you're put in the bubble, and it's very much once you get into that bubble, you're in. You don't get your phone, you don't get any access to the outside world. It's you're in the process now, and you start filming, and what you guys see is just a little snapshot of that bubble.
You weren't the only Irish candidate this year, and we know that one has left. Eveen was there, and she got fired recently enough. So, did you find that was it made things a little easier having someone from Ireland there, and did it change after she left?
Absolutely, you know, we didn't have any Barry's tea or anything, but have a piece of home with Ivan was great. You know, having the Irish humor there, it's good to have it. It makes you feel at home in an area where really you're taken away from all your comforts. You don't have your family, you don't have your friends, you're very much alone in there. So to have something familiar there was nice, and yeah, I was very grateful to have that.
So there's the camaraderie, I suppose, between the candidates, but it's also really competitive. Is it as competitive off screen as it seems to be on screen?
There's definitely, and I always believed there should be a line. There should be. It's almost like in work. You might work with your mate and you don't agree with what you do in work, but when you go out for pints on a Friday, it's done, you know. I felt it's like that, but you know, we're human beings, and obviously there's going to be things that spill over from time to time. But for the most part, in the house, we're all buddy buddy. We're all friends, and when you get back into task, you kind of go into work mode. It's time to. If you need to make a few comments or make sure things are heard, you'll say those comments in the boardroom, and that's that.
And did you get on with everybody? Did you make friends? Like, do you still talk to some of them? And like, did the Irish charm help you in any way?
Absolutely. Listen, I went in there, and I think everyone just wanted to look after me. They all just thought I was a little baby or whatever. I don't know, just a little 22-year-old kid. I got on with everyone, but that's in the nature of the Irish, I think. You walk into a room and you know everyone by their first name. You know, you could speak to anyone, act like they're your long lost cousin or whatever after a few minutes. So I got on well with everyone. But I definitely think the Irish charm helped.
It always does. But that's the
Absolutely.
candidates. I've always wondered when you take part in The Apprentice that you go to the house, you get to know the other people that are in the competition. But at some stage, you're going to have to walk into that boardroom, and it is iconic. I mean, you're walking onto a world famous stage. What's it like walking into the room for the first time and seeing Lord Sugar sitting there in front of you?
So when I came in, I wanted to be the first face he saw. I cut the line. I cut in front of everyone, and I just went straight for that door. And walking in is so surreal because you're in there after watching it for so many years, and it's really happening, but you still are kind of connected to the television side of it. So it's almost like watching the show, but you're not there. It's this weird out of body experience. But I mean, when you really put it into perspective, how many people in the world have got to experience that? I'm in a small club there, so I'm so grateful that I got that opportunity. But it's an out of body experience, to say the least.
And what's he like? What kind of energy does he give off, Lord Sugar?
Lord Sugar, he is business. What you see, like his book, what you see is what you get. The version of him that you see on the television is the version of him that we see in that boardroom. He is 100% business. He's not there to be your friend. He's not there to make mates. He's there to find a serious business partner to invest £250,000 in. And he's not going to get there, you know, making friends and whatnot. So he wants to find out how the task went down. And that is your only opportunity to speak to him. You don't speak to him anywhere besides that. So if you have something you want to say to him, you better say it in that boardroom or it ain't going to get heard.
And when you're out on doing tasks, you're given mentors like Baroness Brady. She would go with you as an example when you're out doing the actual task. What is that experience like being watched over by somebody like her?
It's like when you want to sneak food into class when you're younger, you know what I mean? Like you have to be discreet about it. Look, it's amazing having you know such experienced business people looking over you and seeing what you're doing, but ultimately they're there to report back to Lord Sugar, so you need to make sure you're on your A game if they're ever around. There's no room for error. If they're in the room, you better be prepared to give it all, give it your all. It can put you off a little bit, to be honest.
I'd
For
say
some
so,
people,
yeah.
some people got very nervous when they're around, but I was just like, look, they're just people. They're just there to report. If I just stay composed and do what I need to do, then they'll have nothing bad to say.
Well, I have to ask you this because if you're anything like me, and I know you probably are, seeing as you've been watching it all your life, and I've been watching it all my life, we have the
Yeah.
armchair critic, okay? You know, I have sat there so many times. Now, I don't work a business, I work in media, as you can tell. And I look at them doing the tasks sometimes, the candidates, and you say to yourself, what on earth are you thinking? Like in the middle of a task, you're like, what kind of a person thinks that's a good idea? And you just tell exactly how this is going to end. And you say to yourself, if I was there, I would never allow that to happen. Or if I was there, I'd speak up. Or if I was there, I'd do this. If I was there, I'd do that. I'm sure you did that over the years watching The Apprentice, but you're, unlike myself, somebody who actually got to be there. What was that like? That kind of weird sensation where you're like, okay, I know what I'd be thinking if I was watching the show right now. So I'm going to speak up and say something about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a big thing. I was exactly like you, thinking, what on earth are these lunatics doing? They haven't a clue. And I went into it, and I think there's certain areas where I went on and I was like, oh, those people were actually just rubbish. And then there's other areas where I'm like, actually, yeah, it is a lot harder than you would think, because you got to remember there's probably three aspects. There's editing, so you know what you see. There might be context left out. You know, it's 100 hours of shooting and they can only show an hour episode. There's obviously, it's not a real life situation. It is, like I said, a bubble. So like you can't use Google like you could in the real world. You can't use a calculator. You can't call somebody. You know, you have to just use your instinct. There's that element to it as well.
I didn't know that, Jordan. I didn't know you weren't allowed to pick up your phone and look up something and research if you want.
No, it's very old fashioned. It's very much they want it to be a level playing field. Whatever your intellect is going into the process is what they want to test. Which is interesting because look, it is a test, you know, it's a process. It's not supposed to be completely realistic like it would be in the they want to see how you would do under stressful situations. And that's another part to it as well. It's stressful. People are going to make, you know, stupid decisions when they're stressed out. When you go into a process like this, it feels like life and death. It feels like if I get fired, that's me done. You know, that's it. I'm over. But overall, I think I'd give most past candidates a run for their money.
That's what we like to see. That's what we like to hear. I'd say Lord Sugar loves that kind of talk. But that brings me to my next question, because when you're watching it week to week, you're a bit detached from it in the sense that you think this is a process that goes on for a while. But it's actually quite, you know, it's quite a quick film. I mean, people are in there in a very short amount of time. Talk us through a typical day and the schedule that's involved in being a candidate on The Apprentice.
Yeah, I think it's majority of filming will kind of have three phases of it, depending on where it is. So obviously, when we went to Austria, there's more involved. You need to get flights there, and then you have a day to kind of settle, and then you have day one of the task, day two of the task, then you have to fly back. So tasks that are abroad, you're looking at maybe five-ish days. If it's around London, UK based, maybe three, and it'll very much be task day one, task day two, boardroom. So that's like a 3 day turnaround. You know what I mean? Where you basically have to build a business in 2 days and then explain why it's so bad in day three, or why it's great in my case. And then between those, you'll have a day off. You'll have a rest day where you can, maybe it's a couple of days. It depends on how strenuous the task was, where you just chill around the £10 million mansion. Maybe go around the pool in your floaty or whatever.
Hard life, Jordan.
It's horrible. Yeah, I had to use the stairs a few times. It was absolutely horrible. The elevator wasn't moving.
You're the first mixed race Irish contestant in the show's history. How significant is that for you, representation wise?
I think that's massive. I think that's a big thing that I probably didn't see growing up. Obviously, I grew up in Castleknock, where majority of the people I went to school with were white. And I always felt a little bit different. It was like I wasn't quite there. And then I moved to Ongar, which was a lot more of a black area, but it was very much the black people were like, oh, you're white. You talk like an Irish person. I'm like, what? And then the white people were like, oh no, you're black. So I was in this weird in between. So I never saw someone like me out there doing well, getting on television, making something of themselves. So my hope is that people will see that and be like, oh, Jordan did it. Why can't I? And not even just color-wise, like a young lad from Dublin going on The Apprentice, that doesn't happen every day. You know what I mean? It doesn't. So for lads to see it is possible. I have people from school text me like, you're really inspiring me to do this. I had Bernard Brogan follow me the other day. That's, you know, a big someone I looked up to growing up, big Dublin GAA star. And to have people like that on the social media is amazing. It's a dream come true.
Now, speaking of social media, I was on your Instagram earlier on this morning, and you espouse a certain sort of mentality in the sense of, I don't want to say manifestation because that's the word of the moment, but in that area, it's all about positive mental attitude and letting go of things and everything working out in the end if you maintain a certain posture in your life and in your mind. Are you a big proponent of positive thinking and, you know, determination? What you put in, you get out of it.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if you can't even imagine it, how do you expect to achieve it? A lot of people love talking about law of attraction, manifestation, this kind of thing. I'm not necessarily an ambassador for that. I think ultimately, if something's on your mind a lot, you're going to be more perceptive to opportunities that come your way. They're going to become more obvious to you. But I believe you just need to take every opportunity you can get. Believe you can achieve everything. If someone's going to do it, why not you? You know, somebody has to get on The Apprentice. Somebody has to be, you know, the Oscar winner for 2026, whatever. Somebody has to do all these things. If it's going to be somebody, why is the next person any better than you? And I saw that going on the process. I used to look up to all these past candidates and like, oh, they're amazing, whatever. And then you get in and you're like, they're just like me. You know, they're normal people. We all have to get up, brush our teeth in the morning, go get groceries, eat food, get 8 hours of sleep. We're all the same. So if you believe that you can do it, I genuinely think put in the work, stop putting a time limit on yourself. Just, I'm gonna do it sooner or later. You'll get it done.
Well, that's, I mean, that is half the battle, isn't it? When you're starting out a business or something like that, you have to maintain a positive forward outlook. And going on The Apprentice is obviously a really, like, it's a huge jump into the dark. And when you made the decision to do that, did you say to yourself, even if I don't win, this is going to help me in terms of personally, but also for the company? I mean, surely publicity is always good, isn't it?
I've been getting a lot of inquiries. That's been great, but I went in there wanting to win. I very much went in with the mindset of I'm not here to I don't know, go and get the publicity, whatever. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for a few followers. I'm here to get a business partner, get a mentor to show me how to grow this thing and how to get to that next level. So that was my goal. Everything else was just noise. And even now it's like, business-wise, I'll take it. I think any extra eyeballs is always a good thing, and I'm not oblivious to that. But going in, my only goal was to get that investment and win over a new mentor.
It sounds like the right attitude to have. So at the moment, I think we're a couple of weeks in, and we had the task in Austria, and then we saw the virtual pop star task. And you touched on it at the beginning of the interview that you went for project manager. You wanted to take the lead on that. And logically, you would assume that you would be the person that would get that gig because of your company, Rendify Studios. So you know about that world, you know about 3D animation, and yet you were sort of shut down a little bit. But I don't think it did you any harm with Lord Sugar, because I think he kind of said to himself, you could see it in his face in the boardroom. He was like, well, you know, this guy should have done it. Why didn't you let him? You know, that kind of way. It must have been very frustrating for you not to be project.
Yeah, Lord Sugar is a very, very reasonable man. He's all business, but he's very reasonable. He'll hear you out. And I think the minute he heard that, he was like, "You're good. You know, don't worry." I think people are threatened. I think when somebody comes in and they're young and enthusiastic and they put themselves forward as wanting to take a bit of limelight and show what I'm capable of, you got to understand in a process like this, like you said earlier, yes, there's friends and whatnot, but there's no friends in business. And if anyone has an opportunity to make sure you're gone, that's one less problem for them to worry about. So I went in and I gave my pitch, whatever, but I feel people were threatened. I feel people were saw the potential but didn't want to admit it. And that's all that was.
And when you started on the process, did you look around the room and say to yourself, oh, he's competition, or she's definitely competition? I'm not too worried about him, but I'm a bit worried about her. You know, that kind of way. Did you eye up everybody around you?
Yeah, episode one, I definitely sussed most people out. I think got everyone figured out in the first 5 minutes, and I was like, I'm going to do okay. You know, there's nobody in here who's really making me feel threatened, is making me feel like they're on a further level than me. I felt everyone in there was, don't get me wrong, they're all very, very skilled business people, but what I had to offer, I don't think anyone could match that. Obviously, other people didn't feel the same way, which is a good thing.
That's always a good thing. We have a long way to go in the process, and obviously you can't talk about what happens. I mean, that's obvious, and we wouldn't want you to ruin it, because the joy is the journey, as they say. Looking forward to the next few weeks. In terms of where the show is going, are people in for a few surprises?
Absolutely. I think people, I was actually looking over, there's a forum basically ranking each week who's most likely to win, and it changes. So it's the odds of who's going to be fired, whatever. Week one, I was the most likely to be fired week one. And now week two, it's changed a bit. So looking at that, people are going to be very surprised, I think, about who stays and who goes. That's a big thing, because people's opinions change like the weather. You know, week one, Amber Rose was number one. Everyone loved her. Week two, she's getting hate and everyone's saying, oh, she needs to be fired. Week one, everyone's saying, didn't even see Jordan in the episode. Where was he? And week two, people are saying he's going to be final five and all that. So people will be in for shocks for sure. But I won't let the Irish people down.
Oh, that's good to hear. I like to hear that. Yeah, no, it's because no, you make a good point. I mean, as a person who watches it every year, it's usually at this stage of the competition, it's so difficult to tell who's actually going to win, because you can identify who's got the brain and who's smart and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't mean much because there's a long way to go, as they say. And I'm sure at some stage you're going to end up in that coffee shop. And I've always wondered, what's it really like? Is it as bleak as it looks?
They made a nice hot chocolate, I'll tell you that. I was in the cafe for task two. We were in Lisa's cafe, and Lisa's a lovely lady.
Is it a real cafe?
It's a real cafe. They close it out for the time that you're filming the calf scenes, but it's a real cafe. You'll have a few people outside waiting for photos and whatnot. They've kind of sussed out what it is, but I mean, I went in knowing I was safe. I knew I was fine. Like I knew for a fact I was not the reason we failed the task. So you can see me in a few scenes trying to hold back laughter. You know, I was just like, this is ridiculous how people are just trying to chuck each other under the bus. 2 minutes ago, you were high-fiving and clapping, and now you're just trying to chuck everyone under the bus. It can be comical sometimes like that, but yeah, there's also moments where it can be scary because you could be going home. You know, that could be the end of the road for you. So in some ways, that's your chance to fight your case as well. That kind of sets up how the boardroom is going to play out.
Yeah, gets the fire in the belly, as they say, and gets you ready to go for the boardroom. Before I let you go, I have to ask you the obvious question, and it'll be a chance for you to speak a bit more about your company. But what is your business proposal for this year's The Apprentice?
So I have a pretty much a freelance 3D animation studio. I do 3D animation advertisements for brands. And the proposal was to turn that into a big studio. Right now, it's just me. It's a one-man band. I taught myself how to do it, and I offer it as a service. It's about bringing on more talent to scale the company. So I'm doing that, and I've also got a digital business card company, tap.ie. It's with two Ps. So that's basically what's great about it is I can do all my own 3D animation. I think this is the power of Gen Z, we'll say, where we're so proficient in all these different softwares in web design, graphic design, animation, that really you can start a business by yourself. You don't need for certain businesses, you really don't need investment to get it off the ground. You know, you don't need business partners. You can just go and do it all yourself. And if you really need it, get AI to slap a few things together, and there you go.
Well, best of luck with it, Jordan. I have to say, I'm looking forward to the next few weeks of The Apprentice for two reasons. One, because I think we're all rooting for you here in Ireland, but also because
Thanks
it's just a bloody great show. There's no doubt about it. It's one of the best programs on television. Would you do reality TV again?
very much. Well, look, The Apprentice is like you said, it's amazing. It stood the test of time. It's a very unique process. 19 seasons it's been on. I think the right show. One thing about me, I'd never sell my reputation for any amount of fame or money or any of that. So it would have to be the right circumstance. It would have to be the right show. But I'd definitely be up. I enjoyed the camera. I can't lie about that. I like seeing my face on national television. I enjoyed that. So any opportunities to get on the telly again, don't know. Maybe you'll see me on the Late Late Show or something in a few weeks' time. But
I love it. I love it. Well, strike a
having some.
pose. For now, it's nighttime talk, Jordan. And I have to say, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. It's been a
This
pleasure.
is a dream come true. I listen to Nighttime Talk, you know what I mean? I just listen to it all the time. So to be on it now, even that is like you said, not, I don't know what people want to call it, manifestation or law of attraction, but I was just like everyone driving down the M50 listening to Nighttime Talk on the way back from delivering fruit or whatever it was, or I was working at Amazon, delivery driver, to now being on it. You know what I mean? Anything is possible.
We love to hear that. Well, listen, come back sometime. Hopefully, you'll come back
Absolutely.
a winning
Absolutely.
candidate. That'd be wonderful. Jordan
Yeah.
Dargan, Dublin's offering in this year's Apprentice. Thank you so much for joining us here on Nighttime Talk.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.